Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
Well, hello, Every Nation. I hope that you're doing well and that you and your friends and family have had a great Thanksgiving. Today, we're finishing off a series called Grateful. And today we're looking at how we can be grateful for time. Now, as I talk about gratefulness, even in my Connect group, this came up just recently. It was like, hey, does God really want us to be satisfied? Does God want us to be contented? Because there's, with that understanding of contentment comes a edge of kind of, I'm just gonna sit back and do nothing. I'm just gonna sit there. Maybe you're feeling a little bit contented after Thanksgiving right now, and you're just sitting there and you're like, yeah, I feel ya. This is all I want to do and all I can do right now is turn on some YouTube and watch a service. And is that really where God wants us to live all the time? And I would say, yes, he wants us to live absolutely satisfied, absolutely content, absolutely grateful in what he's done. But we add to that and we keep in tension expectation that God's not done with you yet. God's not done working through you. God's not done accomplishing his purposes. And so we turn up the gratitude and we turn up the expectation. It's not just about having a balance between the two, because you could put 1 gram, just like a tiny little bit, on each side of that scale and it would be balanced. But it's about living in intention. You turn both of them up to as much as you can handle, as much gratitude as you can handle, as much expectation as you can handle. And then what does that sound like? It's not just like, well, I'm fine. That's equal parts gratitude, equal parts expectation. Fine, 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 fine. Leave me alone, fine. But we turn them up and we say, God, thank you for all you've done. Thank you for all you will do. And we turn it all the way up. And we trust God with our past. We thank him for our past. We trust him with our future. We turn up gratitude and expectation. Today, I want to talk to us and by God's grace, present to us a new way of viewing the world. And just like I wear glasses and these help my eyes focus and see the world a little bit more sharp, my prayer is that by God's grace, each of us will be able to put on a new lens today, a lens of gratitude, a lens of gratefulness, a lens of being able to see the world where God is at work in every element of our life. That God is working through every part of our life, and as such, we can live in this space, in this lens, and see the world through this lens of gratitude. So I'm gonna pray, pause and pray, because I don't have these kind of glasses to give us all, but I believe that God, by his grace, can give you this lens, this mindset today. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you that you're here with us. Today, Lord, as we look at time, I pray that we would pause, spend time with you, hear from your word, reassess and assess how we see the world. And God, put on a new lens of you being active in every element. Give us these glasses to see you and appreciate you, be grateful for you every moment of every day. In the name of Jesus, amen. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 2:2 and 3, and on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all the work he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. The first thing that I'd like to call our attention to right now is that God has given us time itself. God has given us time itself. And as we see that, what that can do is it can empower us now to live in the moment. Every moment, God is giving you a fresh moment. Every moment, God is giving us another thing to be in. I want to ask you a question. Where are you right now? Are you locked into this moment, receiving what God might have for you in this moment? Are you thinking about what you're going to eat for lunch or dinner, or what work you're gonna get done, or maybe you're scrolling through Instagram looking for something more interesting than me? Well, I'm sure there's a lot out there that's more interesting than me, but there's not a lot out there that's more interesting than the King. And maybe, just maybe, we can receive from him something fresh just now. I want us to go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 20. If you've got a Bible here, open it up. Open it up. Ephesians 5, 15 through 20. I've got it written here. Look carefully then how you walk. This is Paul's encouragement to the church in Ephesus. Look carefully then how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the best use of the time. The time. Because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Every day we wake up, and if you're driven, if you're motivated, if you've got that expectation dial cranked up, your thing is you're like, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to slay the day. That alarm clock goes up and it's your call. It's your battle cry to go out and get it done. I'm going to slay the day. And every day is set against us. This pastor says the days are evil. They're out to kill us. They're out to slay us. And we're locked in a never ending epic struggle between now and getting something else done. And we are locked into this struggle day by day by day by day by day. And man, if you're in New York, you feel that grind because the days are set against us. The cabs don't run. The subway shuts down. The streets are moving not in our favor, and we are having to grind through the days every day. I feel it constantly. It's like everything in this world can be set against us. And it's rare that I finish a day going, yeah, everything on my to-do list got crossed off. The days are set against us. But here's the fact of the matter. Between us and the inevitable march of time, there's only one thing that's going to die, and it's me and you. From eternity, time is ripping through our consciousness at the speed of light. So how can we, day by day, carpe that diem? How can we seize it? How can we live in victory? How can we handle time? How can we utilize it? How can we enjoy it every moment? God is giving us another moment. How can we do this? And I want to propose to us, it's gratitude. Giving thanks always in everything and for everything to God the Father. Giving thanks always in every moment. What gratitude does, when we put on that lens of gratitude, we can see the moment that God has given us. When we put on that lens that God, this is the moment that you've led me to, this is the moment that you have me in, whether it's good or bad, whether it's sitting around the table with your family at Thanksgiving dinner, or sitting around a board meeting where you're getting absolutely chewed out because you didn't do your work. What's the moment that you're in? What's the moment that you're at? When we put on the lens of gratitude, we can see the moment. Where am I? And we can see the opportunity that's in that moment. When we put on the lens of gratitude, gratitude allows us to see the moment that we're in and live in the very best version of it. Gratitude allows us to see it and then live in the very best version of whatever moment that you're going through. Every moment. Moment by moment, God is giving us a chance to respond, to walk with Him, to walk in the good works that God has prepared beforehand so that we can step into Him. So whatever you find yourself in today, pause, see it, say, God, what are you doing here? I don't want to live foolishly. I don't want to live just scrolling past my life. I don't want to live where I have to numb out or blow out or pass out. I don't want to drink my way through this. I don't want to scroll my way through this. I want to be awake. I want to be alert. I want to see it. So God, what are you doing? God, I'm going to give you thanks for this moment so I can engage with it. Not foolishly, but wisely. Not as unwise, but in wisdom. The first thing that God gave us is time itself. Will we see it? Will we have gratitude for it? And will we live in the best version of it? The second thing that God has given us is a perception and direction to our time. I read a book recently by Thomas Cahill called The Gift of the Jews, and what he basically puts forward in that book is he re-gifts to us the very perception that we're walking in. When I became a parent, I got this mewling, puking, pooping little ball of love,
And that thing kept me up like 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for months on end. And I go to my parents and I'm like, guys, did you put in this much work into me? And they're like, oh yeah, we did. You better believe it, Nathan. You came out that way too. And so did you. And so when we get a baby, we realize how much work our parents have done for us. And what reading Thomas Cahill's book, The Gift of the Jews, was like kind of receiving a baby. You're like, wow, God, this is all the work and all of the reality that I live in and I take for granted every day. In it, he outlines a pagan, an ancient, an Eastern view of time. And it's basically this. The view of time outside of a Judeo-Christian biblical worldview of time is this. We are subject to the seasons and stars, a never-ending cycle of death and birth. We are insignificant beings, unable to affect change on the wheel of time. What has happened before will happen again. We're trapped in this cycle, trapped in this cycle. And into this worldview and into this context, in Genesis 12, God speaks into this context. And we find a man named Abram. And Abram was from Ur of the Chaldees, where they would have worshiped the moon god and the cycles of the moon and the seasons and cycles that the moon affects on the earth, the tides and the seasons. And he would have seen himself in this cycle. And all he could do is reproduce and be part of pushing forward the wheel of time. That's what was his worldview. I am born, I reproduce, I create, I'm subject to the seasons, I plant, I sow, I harvest, and eventually I die. And the wheel of time marches on. This is the way that Abraham was thinking. And into this worldview, God's voice interrupts the cycle. There's this wheel, it's spinning, it's going. And then God says, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and to him who dishonors you, I will curse, and you will be, and in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. The cycle's going, the cycle's going, the cycle's going, and God speaks and he interrupts the cycle, and there's like one shooting star. Abraham shoots into the unknown. Out of the cycle comes one, boom, shooting human being that says, I'm going to venture out. I'm going to go out from what I know into the unknown, into the adventure, into trusting God, out of being just one cog in the wheel, into being a change maker, a blessing, one that's going to bless not just me, but that's going to live for something beyond me, beyond the cycle, beyond just me and my family, boom, into being a blessing for the whole world. We live in this worldview, but we don't know where it comes from. Before, it was the secular progressive mission to improve the world, to be a blessing to the world, to be do-gooders, to change things. It was God's mission to change things through us. But now, in New York City, particularly in secular progressive spaces like our city, we want the progress without the definition of the destination. We want to define the destination. We say, yeah, sure, we're going to progress things, but we want to define the destination. I'm not going to go to a land that God shows me. I'm going to go to the land that I want to go to. We want the kingdom of God, the righteousness, the peace, the justice, the joy, the happiness without the king. We want the kingdom without the king. And what I see in this secular progressive view of time and the world, that we can make change, that we are change makers, is that what ends up happening without the parameters of the change defined, without the change maker defined, without the king of the kingdom defined, is that we end up falling back into the grind. And we're just grinding. I look at New Yorkers day by day, riding the subway, getting in their cabs, going to work, doing the 7-day work week, and just grinding through 80 hours a week, always constantly working so that we can make money, so that we can purchase the home, so that we can give it to our kids and die. We've fallen back into the cycle. We've fallen back into the thing that God wanted to save us from. It takes faith to break out, to affect change again. We have to trust God. We have to look carefully how we walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of our time because the days are evil. Therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't get drunk with wine. Don't numb out. Don't scroll out. For that's debauchery, but be filled instead with the Spirit. What I see over New York is a deep need to re-engage with our spiritual life. We're well aware that we're physical beings. We work out, we eat healthy when and where we can. We're well aware that we're mental and cognitive beings. We practice mental health. We do reflection and want to quiet our lives. But are we aware that we're also spiritual beings walking through this earth, that there's a spiritual health that we've got to engage with, that God wants to breathe life into us again? And the only way that we can go from being spiritually dead to spiritually alive is to encounter the living God, the one that says, this is eternal life, to know the Father. We've got to know him. We've got to engage with him. We've got to trust him. And as we do, he's going to call us on a journey of faith. And I believe that God has a next step on your journey of faith right now. Perhaps it's to get baptized. We have a baptism in the new year, January 30th. We're baptizing people. Perhaps it's to engage in the mission of God through our big give, to give like you've never given, to give until it hurts. Friends, there's people that are hungry and starving. There's a city to reach. There's things that we're going to do through our big give campaign. Perhaps it's stepping out in faith and trusting him with your finances. If there's not pressure placed on you, on your faith muscle, on your spiritual muscle. Yeah, we put the pressure on our physical muscles. We put it on in our mental muscles. We put it on in our work appetite, in our lives. We put the expectancy up to 11. But if we don't do something in our faith, if we're not trusting God, then it's time to venture out because God has given us perception and direction to our time. He wants to move through your life. He wants to improve things around you through your life. And it's not just by being part of the system of justice and technology and medicine and science and the things that are bringing parts of the kingdom of God on earth. It's also by engaging our faith muscle and being alive and awake in the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit of God. Finally, God also, in the midst of time, gives us peace and productivity as we march through eternity. How do we find peace and productivity in this crucible of time? How do we live in between the incredibly daunting, scary future unknowns and the regret and the shame of the past? How do we live no longer as a slave to the grinding wheel of time? How do we live free? How can we be human beings instead of human doings? These questions were so crushing to the ancients that they kept their perspective of cyclical time. Because when we start to think of the adventure of what God is calling us into, it can be crushing, it can be terrifying. But in the midst of this, we've got to learn to trust God. This is why it took such a big God to call Abraham out, to call him out of this cyclical time, to call him out of his family, out of his village, out of his family, out of all that he knew, out of and away from the harvest that he had likely planted or the goats that he was raising, whatever it was. God called him out of the pastures that he knew, I should say. I want to share with you the story of a loaf of bread. Just to get us to view things a little bit differently. A loaf of bread in the time of Jesus, say, and you're about to make it. You start by going out to your plot of land, ripping through the soil, removing rocks and preparing the ground, ripping up weeds. It takes weeks to do it. Then you take your seed that you've preserved, seed that you wanted to eat, but instead you plant it and you sow it into the ground. Then you spend every day stressing. The weather's too wet, it's too hot, it's too cold, it's too dry. Then the animals and the bugs, the weeds and the thieves literally start to kill and steal your productivity. Finally, you put in the sickle for the harvest. You bundle it up. Then you crush the grain. You thresh it. You get, finally, at long last, the kernel. Eventually, you take that grain. You grind it into flour. You mix it with oil, salt, water, a little bit of yeast that you've preserved. And you bake it over a fire that you make, over wood that you split. And then you sit at the table with your family and you lift that loaf of your labor and you bless the Lord with this prayer, this ancient prayer that even Jesus himself would have said, "Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth." You have spent now up to a year preparing this loaf of bread that you planted, this loaf of bread that you prepared the ground for, this loaf of bread that you made with your hands using yeast that you prepared over wood that you chopped, this loaf that you made. You say, "Bless you, God, because you brought forth bread from the earth." And this is a tradition that would have happened every Friday night as the sun set and they entered in to Sabbath. And they stopped all work. And I love the power of this prayer because obviously bread does not grow. Bread is prepared. Bread is prepared by humans. Bread is prepared by hard work. Bread is prepared by preparation and forethought and planning and years of labor just so that you can have a loaf of bread. There's lots of human labor in that loaf. But in this moment, on Friday night, after 6 hard days of work, every Jewish person would pause and say this prayer as they lifted a loaf of their labor. "Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth." What they're saying is, while I've worked, God, you've done the impossible. I've worked, but God, you've done the impossible. How do we live with peace and productivity? We have to trust God. And trusting God is not just a mental, emotional state. Trusting God literally means that we have got to stop our work and demonstrate our trust for him. We've got to Sabbath. We've got to slow down. We've got to cease from our work in order to demonstrate, "God, I trust you." Exodus 20, verse 8, "Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy." This was one of God's 10 commands. And yet we treat it like it never happened. We never stop. We work 7 days a week. We keep grinding and keep going. Every time we stop, though, when we stop and we Sabbath, what we are doing, it is an act of faith. It is rebelling against the systems of the world and agreeing with the systems of God. It's saying, "I will never achieve all that I can achieve. There's always more out there to be done. But right now, rather than thinking that I hold the world together by my effort, Lord, it's you that holds the world together. Rather than thinking it's all about my labor, God, in this moment, I'm going to recognize you've done the impossible through my life already. God, I'm going to be satisfied. I'm going to be still in you. I'm going to rebel against the ways of this world, and I'm going to agree with the ways of my God. I'm going to choose to offer up and do more in 6 days than anybody else can do in 7. Shout out to you, Paul Daniels, who runs a Chick-fil-A, who makes more profits than any other fast food restaurant on 6 days than everybody else does in 7. There's a principle here that's at work. When we pause, we say, "God, I trust you more than I trust me. I trust what you do to do the impossible more than I can do with all of the work and all of the labor that I can muster." God gave this gift, Exodus 20, verse 8, "Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy." He gave this gift of a law to a people that had just left Egypt, to a people who have been crushed and oppressed over 400 years of slavery. And God is now saying, "Dear children, your identity is not workers. Your identity is not just in what you can produce. Your identity is found in me, so trust me. Put it on. Rest. You've done enough." On the 7th day, God rested. Why? Because creation was done? Yeah, he'd done his part. But then he was turning it over to us and he was saying, "Go. I'm going to rest. I'm going to sit back. I'm going to enjoy." What an incredible God. So only God is described like this among all gods, who rests and then gave to us as a command, you've got to rest. Yeah, produce. Yeah, produce. Yes, get productive. Yes, bring forth bread from the earth. But on the seventh day, stop. And friends, I don't know exactly what this is going to look like in each of our lives. I know that some of us are shift workers, and many of us are involved in careers that will literally fire us if we try to take off a day every day, once a week, that some of us have got to work 14 days straight. I understand that, but there has got to be a place in our life where we say, I'm going to turn things off and I'm going to turn things down. I'm going to live in a quiet moment just with me and God. We've got to find a time to spend with God, to practice quiet and recreation, to partake in some sort of craft or form of creation through our lives. Take a moment to enjoy friends and family. Take a moment to stop scrolling the news or the social media or the TV, to turn off the electronics, to leave some stuff behind, and to go be with God. We've got to take a strong stance of faith to say, the productivity that's in my life is ultimately up to you, God. How can we have peace and productivity? We receive the gift of God that He's given us, the Sabbath. We put it on with grateful hearts. We find a way to practice this. And I'm only scratching the surface of this practice. I'm giving us just some basic elements, because we've not talked about it much here at Every Nation. But here today, I want to start a conversation that's going to echo out over the coming years. How are you turning down, intentionally turning down the work so that you can find God? Friends, God has given us time. Time itself, He's given us the perception and the direction of time. And He's given us peace and productivity, where we pause, put on the glasses, and say, God, thank you. I'm going to live in this moment. I'm not going to be crushed by the anxieties of the future or the shame of the past, but I'm going to walk confidently in this moment into all that you have for me. When I work diligently as unto the Lord. And when I rest as a proclamation of my faith that the world does not own me, that I'm not a slave to this world, but I'm a child of God. Friends, my prayer for you is that you'll put on these glasses of gratefulness over your time. God, thank you for all that you've given us, that you are the King of the universe, that right now you're calling forth bread from the earth, finances, resources for each of us, that you provide our daily bread, and we rest in that today. Thank you, Lord. We recognize all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.